To remain standing for the reading of the Word of God. It comes to us this morning from two short verses, one Luke chapter 2, the verse 21, and the other from Proverbs chapter 22, the first verse. After 8 days had passed, it was time to circumcise the child, and he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And from Proverbs, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, and favor is better than silver or gold. It's the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
May be seated. Now, I certainly may be mistaken in this, but I think it would be safe to say that the name Jesus is the single most recognizable name in all the world. Few would be the places left on this planet where the name of Jesus hasn't at least been heard. And when I say recognized, I mean when the name is heard, there is one specific person who comes to mind. Now, apparently this wasn't always the case. There was a time, at least in ancient Israel, when Jesus was a very common name. First century Roman and Jewish historian Josephus said he could identify at least 20 different people contemporary to Jesus of Nazareth, son of Mary and Joseph, who shared his name at that time. But it would appear that what happened during his short life is that Jesus the Christ, that we came to know him, so distinguished the name Jesus that it became synonymous with only one person. So that now when we hear the name Jesus, we only think of him. I wonder sometimes, how long was it after the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus that people for the most part stopped naming their sons Jesus? I mean, when did it become a name simply too big to live up to? Or a name that was too revered to attach to someone other than him? I mean, the same way we might ask, when did the name Judas become a name so reviled that we wouldn't want to weigh someone down with it? I mean, but really, we could hear that and say, I mean, what's in a name anyway? I mean, after all, it's just a name, right? Every person who bears a name will have their own opportunity to distinguish that name or possibly to degrade it. I mean, after all, does the name make the person or does the person make the name? According to Jewish law, on the 8th day after Jesus' birth, Mary and Joseph took their baby son to the priest to be circumcised, to be given the mark of the covenant. Children of Abraham, the people of God, a large part of Jesus' identity in his life would be tied to his own Jewish heritage. For Mary and Joseph, this began as an act of obedience to God's law. And they were faithful followers of the law. However, more prominent than circumcision in this brief one-verse description of a really important day in the life of Jesus is his naming. It says in the verse that he was called Jesus that day, the name given to him by the angel before he was conceived. The angel said, "You will give him that name because he will save his people from their sins." Now, that's a pretty big name to live up to. Jesus, Yeshua, it meant God saves. And he was given a name that would define his life. And yet, just because he's given the name, didn't mean he would not have to still live his life in such a way that it would distinguish that name. He would have to live up to its meaning through his healing, his teaching, his dying, his rising, through his laying down his life to save the world from sin. So for Mary and Joseph to give him the name Jesus, it was more than just an act of obedience to the law. It was a step of faith in God's promise. And it was a huge expectation to heap upon their son. And so his name became synonymous with his life's work. Jesus the Christ, Jesus Messiah, Jesus Savior. And because He so defined and distinguished the name, today there is no other name like the name of Jesus. As Peter put it back in the 4th chapter of Acts, there is no other name given under heaven by which we must be saved. So we say there is power in the name of Jesus. Power to save. We pray in the name of Jesus and believe that it carries weight, that it will be done. We comfort in the name of Jesus. We give hope with the name of Jesus. We call for protection in the face of evil in the name of Jesus. Because there is no other name like that one. Remember the words of that hymn that say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there is something about that name, the name of Jesus. But here's the thing. When it comes to names, we all have one, like Julie talked to the children about. And these days, most of us don't research the meaning of our child's name before we choose it for them. We pick names because they're family names, for instance. They carry a memory. They carry a heritage. Sometimes they carry a reputation to live up to. Sometimes they carry a reputation to live down. We pick popular names. Though it's funny how popular names tend to come around again every couple of generations and they get popular all over again. Sometimes we pick biblical names because we hope those names will be inspiring, that they honor God and honor a child. Other times we pick unique names as a way of distinguishing a child by name alone, so there wouldn't be four other children in my class, our child's class with the same name. But no matter what the reason, once given, it is left to the bearer of a name to distinguish that name by the way we live our lives. And like Jesus' name was for Him, our name is particularly important to us. The writer of Proverbs says, a good name is more to be desired than riches. But a good name is not just a name given. A good name has to be distinguished by a good life. It speaks of how we are thought of when people hear our name. You might remember early in the book of Genesis, there's a story called the Tower of Babel. You remember the story that people decided they would build a tower up to heaven. What you may not remember, if you hadn't read the story in a while, is why? Why did they build it? The story said they built it because they wanted to make a name for themselves. Now that's a phrase we still use, right? People want to make a name for themselves. What we usually mean by that is people who are trying to be successful enough that their name will carry a recognition factor. It will carry a certain reputation for success or power or whatever it is that people want to be known for as their name is recognized. I mean, I think these days, look no further than our new president-elect. I think it's fair to say he's made a name for himself. Trump is a fairly common name. But now when you hear the word Trump, you think of a specific person, right? It's certainly recognizable. Trump Tower, Trump Properties, Trump Golf, Trump Steaks, though I'd never heard that. Trump University, although that one might not have helped the brand. But in other words, his financial success and his success in business made a name for himself, so to speak. In that way, we think about all kinds of recognizable names and people. Tiger Woods, Michael Jordan, we would say, made a name for themselves by skill and success in sports and a good Nike marketing campaign. But then every once in a while, somebody comes along for whom a name is made without their trying. Mother Teresa, for me, would be a good example. I am pretty sure Mother Teresa never set out to make a name for herself. In fact, she was given that name. And as it turns out, if you know that name in her circles, it was a lot to live up to. But now, because of the way she lived her life when we in mercy and love. Now, that name was given to her when she took her vows. It was given to her by her order. She was named specifically for Saint Teresa of Lisieux. She's one of a long line of Teresas in the faith, going back to maybe the most famous before her, Teresa of Avila. Mother Teresa probably lived out Teresa of Avila's words. I have the feeling they were the motto for her life when she wrote centuries ago, "Christ has no body on earth but yours. No hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes through which he looks with compassion upon the world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands through which he blesses the world. Christ has no body on earth but yours." So Mother Teresa was given that name. And then she proceeded to define that name, to distinguish that name for our generation. And you might add, you can hardly separate her name from the name of Jesus. So associated is she with the faith she lived out in the one who lived compassion and mercy before her. It's so easy in this life to get occupied with impression management. I mean, we all have this image in our mind of ourselves, and we have a way that we hope people will think of us and see us. And so it's easy to end up sometimes even trying to be something that we really aren't in order to control that impression people have of us. So there's always a danger when we're trying to make a name for ourselves. It's easy to fall victim to trying to draw attention to ourselves. And in the process, it's easy to be tempted to compromise ourselves, compromise our values, even compromise our faith for success, for notoriety, so that we'll have a name that people know and recognize, think a certain way about. You remember the story of the temptation of Jesus? In one of the temptations, it says that the devil took Jesus up on the pinnacle of the temple in Jerusalem before all of those people gathered there and said, "Throw yourself off, for the word of God says, angels will bear you up and you'll not strike your foot against a stone." The temptation really was, make a name for yourself. Do something that everybody sees and is in awe of. And everybody will say, "That's Jesus." Instead of living into the name given to you by the angel before your birth, instead of living into the life and the death and the resurrection God planned for him that would honor God and would save his people, just make a name for yourself. A good name that is more desired than riches is not just a name that we make for ourselves. You could say it's a name that God gives to us and that we live into. In other words, you could say that maybe the name should make us. The Bible says we have all been given a good name to inspire and live up to. 1 Peter 4 says we should glorify God because we bear his name. We've been given a name with a reputation to live up to. It is simply the name Christian. When we enter into a relationship with Jesus, the book of Revelation says that God will give us a new name. Now, I don't know if that name that it speaks of is anything particularly unique. I don't know if it's like the name of some saint like Mother Teresa took on. But I do know this. He gives us all, when we follow him, the name Christian. And when we bear that name, we bear his good name. And it falls upon us then to distinguish that name or degrade that name. You might remember the words of that old hymn, "Precious Name." Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then where you go. Take the name of Jesus with you as a shield from every snare. When temptations round you gather, breathe that holy name in prayer. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. But to take the name of Jesus with us means we don't take that name lightly. It requires that we know the one whose name we bear. You may remember in the book of Acts, there's a little story about seven sons of Sceva. They were traveling exorcists. They ran into Paul, who had been casting evil spirits out of people using the name of Jesus, the power of the name of Jesus. So they decided they would make a name for themselves by also using the name of Jesus to cast the demon out of this man. Of course, the story says that as they tried using the name of Jesus, the man with the evil spirit leaped upon them, beat them up, and left them wounded and naked, and said to them, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but I don't even know who you are. You have no name made for yourself." We do take the name of Jesus with us, like it or not. When we are Christians, we take on His name. We do all we do in the name of Jesus. One day, Paul says, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But until then, we are left to bear His name in this world. We are left to carry His reputation. And we are responsible not just for our name, but for His name. Being revered or being reviled. A good name is to be desired more than riches. We've been given a good name. So I wonder, what do people think of when they hear our name? Amen. 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 Amen.